We want to say good morning right now at 8:08 to Michael. Michael, I hope I'm getting this right. Lucci, Director of Jobs and Growth at the Illinois Policy Institute.
Yes, that's right. Good morning, you guys.
Did we get Lucci right?
Yes, Lucci.
Because we're sitting here in a commercial break deciding whether or not we got your name right. Michael, obviously the Illinois legislature did not come up with a budget after Governor Rauner vetoed one that was about $4 billion in the hole. What do you think we're looking at coming in the weeks ahead?
Well, I think they're going to continue having tough negotiations. Right now, that doesn't seem to be a lot of progress, but we see that we have a new governor who believes he has a mandate, and for very good reasons. He believes his mandate is to do both political and economic reforms because those are the two pressing issues in the state of Illinois. The one is people have a tough time finding jobs here, and the second is there's a serious loss of confidence in the political class that runs things in Springfield. So what he's looking at doing, of course, is he wants three economic reforms to help job growth, and he wants two political reforms, which we know about, the FAIR MAP amendment and then the term limits amendment, which are wildly popular with the people of Illinois, but they're not so popular with politicians in Springfield. So those are the things he wants before he would talk about raising tax revenue, whereas on the other side, Speaker Madigan, Senate President Cullerton are saying, you know what, the discussion should just be about how much we're going to raise revenue, how much we're going to raise that tax again this year. So we are at a bit of an impasse because those are two very different conversations and they're having a tough time coming to an agreement. But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to see state services more or less continued intact until we get to that July 15th payroll date where we could start seeing some services no longer provided.
Now, this is a part that I want to make sure we drive home with a absolute crystal clear iron stake. No matter what stays open, no matter what would shut down, state lawmakers are still going to get paid.
Yes, that's the first priority, and we've seen this before under Governor Quinn when he actually, you probably recall, he tried to stop state legislator pay because he thought that they weren't doing their jobs on pensions and things like that. They made sure to get the state lawmakers paid. That is Speaker Madigan and Senate President Cullerton. That was priority number one. It, again, is priority number one here. So even if some of the other folks who work for state government don't get paid, those lawmakers will be getting paid.
So just remember, for everybody that was protesting last night here in Decatur outside of the State of Illinois building, just remember, as your services are getting cut, the lawmakers still getting paid.
The Illinois Policy Institute, do you guys have any positions on what types of programs should be cut, or is that up to the governor?
That's certainly something that will be negotiated, but one of the things that we've come out in favor of cutting, and actually the governor has been cutting, is some of the things that happen at the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, some of the things which amount to subsidies to big businesses. The governor has been cutting those things pretty aggressively. Some of the tax credits, the special deal tax credits that that department gives out, they've been cutting those as a one-off. So there are areas like that where the governor's been cutting. And then when you talk about the rest of the budget, you have to do a balancing act. And this is a new balancing act that hasn't occurred in the state of Illinois. But that balancing act is we have taxpayers who have a very tough time in the state of Illinois. They've faced repeated tax hikes at both the state and local level. We have to balance their interests for the first time against, on the other side of it, the interest of, say, state pensioners, folks who are going to be making money from the state, contracting with the state, other folks who are going to be receiving benefits in one way, shape, or form from the state. Those interests have to be balanced out, and I think that the governor's making a strong case for that. On the one hand, he's also making a strong case, and this is something that the Illinois Policy Institute very much leads and agrees with. The problem with the budget is we have so many people leaving the state of Illinois. The problem with the budget is we have such a weak economic recovery and such weak growth that we're not able to generate the revenues that the state lawmakers say we need. Now, state lawmakers will always say we need more revenues, but the engine is broken. That's why the car's not moving. The engine is the private sector economy. That's what funds everything. The problem Illinois has with the budget is we have a private sector economy that is dramatically underperforming all of our neighboring states, most states across the country. And that's why we always have these broken budgets, because when you have a broken economy, there just is not enough to go around for everybody.
Should the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity be privatized, or should it remain a state agency?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think that's a bit of an open question right now. It would depend on what it would look like. At the Illinois Policy Institute, what we're interested in is a level playing field. So to make sure that entrepreneurs and big businesses, that they're ultimately treated the same way in terms of taxes, in terms of regulations, so that there's not any advantage that the larger businesses have. Under the previous administration, we saw that they were giving out a lot of money to big businesses, and we saw that essentially as unfair to the small businesses who don't get those payouts. We recognize, on the other hand, that there are a lot of states around Illinois, let's talk specifically about Indiana, that are very interested in poaching businesses from Illinois because, frankly, they have a much more competitive business environment there. What we think should happen is that all of the states around the Midwest should stop this game of poaching your business, we poach an Indiana business, they poach an Illinois business, and essentially have an armistice between the governors and governments of all these states saying, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. Nobody wins when we keep stealing businesses from each other. I think that would be a great path forward for the DCO, whether it's a private or public form. And then there are also legitimate concerns that say, hey, look, this organization, the DCO, it needs to be very responsive to business requests and to entrepreneurs' requests so that things get moving, so that people can get going off the ground. So whether that's in a public form or a private form, those are the two concerns that I think should lead the discussion with the DCO.
They were, last year, one of the big businesses here in Decatur moved some of its jobs to Chicago, and I think at the time they were trying to pick up what are called edge tax credits, and that was where basically this big business was going to get a break to leave Decatur. Should that kind of thing continue too? I mean, we're talking about poaching from other states. We've got situations here where Chicago's poaching from downstate.
Yes, we saw that with one of your businesses. We saw it from a business out in Romeoville up here also. It just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make sense. Why are you paying a business to go from one place to another place, and then the state in that case was acting like they were sort of gaining a business? I mean, we were gaining a business from ourselves. Businesses should make their decisions, such as the business you're referring to, they should make their decisions on what makes sense for them. So it might be the case that a business should be in Chicago because of the logistics and transportation center and they have an international clientele. It might be the case that they should be that way. But if that's the case, they should make that decision on their own without any edge or other tax credit dollars going to them. And that's ultimately the problem, is when you have these businesses getting these special deals that other people aren't able to access, it's just an unfair playing field. And, of course, in the state of Illinois, it's that kind of thing always has a touch of, you know, corruption feeling to it sometimes, because everyone knows in Illinois it's tough to get a fair game for a small business because of how the corruption in places like, say, Chicago works. So that's a kind of thing that can really turn people off to the business environment. And it's something we just shouldn't do anymore, especially, as you mentioned, for a business moving from one part of Illinois to another part of Illinois. We shouldn't be picking winners and losers in the private sector, and we certainly shouldn't be picking winners and losers between Illinois cities. It's just not fair, and the government shouldn't be doing that.
Well, listen, Michael, for folks that want to find out more about this, or they want to learn more about the Illinois Policy Institute, how do they end up and get in touch with you?
Well, our website is illinoispolicy.org, and we also have a very active community on our Facebook. I believe we have about 75, 80,000 followers on Facebook. Same thing on Twitter, tens of thousands of followers. That would just be at Illinois Policy. We're very active on those forums. We're very active in marketing and outreach. And then with media like yourself, we have a very great communications department. But in general, our website is just illinoispolicy.org. You could go there and get on our email list, get our updates, and see what we're up to and what we're saying on what's happening in the state. I think we provide a very interesting perspective on what's happening in Springfield, what's happening in cities across the state. And we're very interested in working with local communities also and taxpayers who believe that they need to get a better deal from the state government.
All right. Well, listen, my friend, always good to have you on the air with us. And I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
That is Michael Lucci from the Illinois Policy Institute. It is 8:18. Bus, Boom, and Wolf. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we're supposed to talk to the boss, Mr. Bullock, but I think you all know how that's going to go. So we got something that will